essentially kidnapped out of her bed, taken with her crying child, and shoved out to sea with no notice. And she is this exile, and she is hurting, and she's mad. And that's something that everybody has felt to any sort of degree. Everybody knows what that feels like. Mm-hmm. And so there's, off the bat, there's some understanding of Prospera. No matter how angry she is, no matter how you may feel about her character, there's this shred of understanding that I think everybody in the audience will have.
Because, like, I think there's some villains in various works that we can kind of sympathize with their actions. Like, they were hurt, they were scorned, something was taken from them. Those are the most interesting villains.
Mm-hmm. Like, you look at Maleficent and that movie being remade, and you get to see her side, and it's very interesting. And she's the main character, so she's sympathetic, and it works because it's done well.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So, after this terrible storm, we get to meet Prospera, Miranda, and the few other characters we mentioned here, like Ariel and Calibax, there on their little island, where they see their ultimate plan of revenge begin to take motion. So how did you go about giving Prospera that kind of relatable quality?
It's honesty. It's all in honesty. And when you approach a character, of course, you're going to have your own preconceived notions about their actions. There are things that Prospera's done that I would hopefully never do. But honestly, nobody can say, because they've never been in that scenario. So it's honesty, it's respect for the character and for everything that they've been through. And it's also understanding that there are people out there like this person, and you have to do this person justice.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we can look at the various theaters of the world and see Prospera's and Antonio's and Alonza's everywhere in the world, you know, as they've been working their way through various channels of government, perhaps, or municipalities or corporations. Mm-hmm. There's many ways that we can see their characters cast into the real world stage. So later on, after we get introduced to Prospera, Miranda, Caliban, and Ariel, we get to see another act of the play unfold. All the three groups of nobilities, the comics, mm-hmm. and Fernandad have been separated. And Ariel and Fernandad is very much part of the plan here. We're getting them to meet with Miranda, mm-hmm. as also part of the plan. We see a lot of qualities. They speak a lot to power and manipulation of Prospera here in the world. How do we make power and manipulation? I guess we see kind of more of this more sinister aspect of this revenge plot here, mm-hmm. not so much in the actions, but in the motivations. So various things unfold throughout the play here. As the nobility group, there's a small moment of potential regicide that mm-hmm. almost happens, that mm-hmm. is interrupted by a few characters, along with some magical meals disappearing before their very eyes and a terrifying harpy coming before them. Mm-hmm. We eventually come to the climax of the play, where all the various groups become intertwined there as, in the moment of joy, we see Miranda and Fernandad becoming married, and Prospera throwing a party, seemingly enjoying herself and enjoying the one aspect of her plan. And suddenly the nobility that Prospera wanted to, you know, exact her revenge upon shows up. And what happens?
Yeah, well, so basically in the party, in that is a celebration where they invite the goddesses to celebrate and bless the marriage of Ferdinand and Miranda. And after that, what ends up happening is Prospera remembers, as Ariel has told her, that Caliban and some of his new noble friends have now hatched a plot to murder Prospera so that Caliban can serve a new master and have this island back and have his life back. And so a whole new plot is hatched, and to catch these traitors, and it leads eventually to the ultimate forgiveness once Ariel comes to Prospera and says that if she could see what the pain is that she's inflicting upon these people, she would change. She would change her mind and she would forgive them. And that's an interesting moment. Our director said, it's like an AI coming to tell you that if they were human, they would probably not do this to somebody. And so it's this total culture shock moment of like, oh, this non-human thing is telling me that is explaining to me how to be human. So maybe there's something that's gone wrong here. And that's the really interesting turn that happens. And the great thing is there are so many different ways to explore it, and I get to do it every night from October 5th to 22nd. So yeah, it's going to be an exciting journey.
Do you think Prospera has a moment where like they realize they're on the receiving end of a plot that's very much of their own, of like their own? Like, oh no, someone's coming to usurp me and possibly kill me again.
Mm-hmm. Again. Exactly.
A plot it's the so sequel. Nice, it happens twice.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's the last, I was reading, watching this one on the analysis of The Tempest, the final moments of the play, where you, Prospera, break the fourth wall and turn to the audience. And tell us a little bit about what goes on in that moment there.
Yeah, so basically, everything is gone. Prospera renounces her magic because she realizes what it's made her into. And what she's been able to use it for is to hurt people, to exact her revenge. And so she experiences this switch and this change of heart, renounces all of her stuff, drowns her book. Not really spoilers. It's been out for hundreds of years. And so then she basically has a epilogue soliloquy to the audience asking them for forgiveness, ultimately. And it's this incredible, almost surgically, like, legal speech. It's using logos and pathos and all of these different tools to appeal to every aspect of the audience's humanity, to say, as you from crimes would pardon be, like, let your indulgence set me free. And those are the final words of the play.
So have you ever done a position in a play where you've broken the fourth wall like that?
Not this ultimately. It's such a actor's treat. Like it's a feast. I've never been able to do that before. It's interesting. I've played so many characters. I was Christine in A Chorus Line, which is probably the furthest you could get from Prospera in The Tempest. And I've been able to play, you know, Disney princesses and ridiculous stooge side characters. And this is unlike anything I've ever done before. And I'm so honored to have this incredible, enriching challenge.
Well, I hope those moments where you get to look and direct yourselves toward the audience purely with that that epilogue and that monologue, it really gives you, really sets your heart on fire on the stage. Because obviously the stage is your passion, but you know, when you get to do it, how many times? 17 times in a row?
Yep.
Wait, no, that'd be 34 times.
Yep.
Yeah. I imagine you're going to have a favorite moment on there for the stage there. So audiences, don't miss an opportunity for Kat to hit you with that beautiful monologue at the end there, where you get to dig into your humanity and offer it up to Prospera and setting her free with your applause.
Thank you so much, Jacob.
So yeah, once again, everybody, hit up Studio 58. It's over at 100 West 49th Avenue over by the Langara campus, right?
Yep.
And it's running from the 5th today, or yesterday if you're listening on our Friday night broadcast, to the 22nd.
We've got a relaxed performance on the 21st. So we're doing reduced sound, reduced lights, reduced flashing, and 50% capacity. So if there's any accessibility barriers for anybody out there, that's the time to go.
And it's at a low, low price of $10. So come on down, experience The Tempest and the lovely show that the crew at Studio 58 has put together for you.
Yeah, tickets at studio58.ca.
Sweet. Kat, thank you so much for joining me today. And
thank you for having me, Jacob.
Enjoy those beautiful fourth wall breaking moments.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You as well.
Onto the road, the dust up to his nose. Put that anchor down to find a place where he could go, cause he was looking for the shelter from a storm. You were looking for a place that you could call your own. You kept on now walking past signs you used to see. Kept on getting used to dropping anchor in the sea. Cause you're looking for a shelter of a storm. Looks like news that storm is coming closer every day.
Coming faster. Anyways, welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that interview. Thank you again, Kat Stevens. Not the singer, but the actress of The Tempest, our very own Prospera, for The Tempest by some guy named Shakespeare. You might know him. That's, of course, starting today all the way to the 22nd over at Studio 58 at the Langara campus in South Vancouver. So, if you enjoy your modern... Well, I don't know if they modernize it, but they certainly, you know, bring it up to speed, The Tempest there. So, yeah. Also, sweet stuff. Thank you again for joining me. I hope you enjoyed that once again. We are going to get back on track here for some tunage. Stuff to see around town here for that. Okay, there we go. Never mind. Okay. Here we go. The Postal Service is back. They're a thing. I didn't realize this. No, this is in Seattle. My bad. If you're in Seattle, go see Death Cab for Cutie or Postal Service. They're doing a tour. I didn't know that. Anyways, I mean, everyone back in the day wanted a second Postal Service album, but like looking back, it was lightning in a bottle. There's no way he could have done that again. It was just nailed it for Give Up. Still have my my copy from way back. Anyways, back to the present. Tomorrow night, Friday night also, Weightless, ATD, Bear Horse from Calgary, and Bosses are doing their respective thing over at the Red Gate. So come on down, check it out. It's $20 per can, a little extra for the touring band as they came all the way from Calgary. That's a solid half day's drive nonstop. I would know because I've done that drive with my good friend Joe Past and some cool people. And yeah, it's going to be great. So show them a good time over at Red Gate, Main and Third, between Main and Third and Fourth, whatever, you know the place. $20 per can. Next up, we have The Crows, Loud Motor, The Furniture, Lone Bears, and Brain Zaps. I know that feeling. Over at Lanaloo's, five bands for, I'm assuming, reasonable amounts of dollars. Once again, the Crows are wrapping up the night. In, so let's start from the beginning of time. 9 p.m., you have Brain Zaps. Later on, you got Blown Bear, The Furniture, Loud Motor. They're from Seattle. And the Crews wrapping things up around midnight. Should be pretty cool. Once again, the Crows, Loud Motor, Furniture, Lone Bears, Brain Zaps, Atlanta Lose, 362 Powell Street. Be there. Cloud, not like the thing in the sky, but Cloud, like the name, is doing their thing with Boyish over at the Fox Cabaret. So we're going to might hear some stuff from them in a little bit. But it's kind of, you know, some nice indie bedroom pop stuff from Brooklyn. So check it out. Should be pretty rad. And yeah, Boyish backing them up. So check it out. It's over the Fox Cabaret for Cloud. Next up over at 247 East 1st Avenue, you have Riki with Guests, Leathers, and Section Tyrants all doing their respective things. If you like your synth punk, your electro, and synth pop, etc., this is a cool little thing for you. It's from the people from Verboten, so they know they're in their element here. Riki coming in from L.A., Leathers, and Section Tyrants are on backyard here. So go check it out. We'll hear some music from them in a little bit. Next up, at Saturday night at Bullies in West New Westminster, you got The Core with Blacked Out. Welcome Home is doing a Welcome Home show with the Fomites. So it's going to be some rocking and rolling over at Bullies Studio over in New Westminster on like 6th Avenue. And they're in the town of New Westminster. Should be pretty rad. I think I'm going to park it right about there. We're going to get some tunes happening right about meow. Yes, that's what we're going to do. We're going to start with some music from Cloud. This is going to be their music all over. Oh, by the way, you're still listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Burnaby. that's how I feel as every month passes, another year. I mean, it's October already. Every year, it's getting faster every day. Just a little closer. Oh, my God. Yeah, 2024 is almost upon us, and so on and so forth. But that's the way time goes. Let's see, what's the joke? Time flies like an arrow. Fruit flies like a banana. Yeah? Yeah. Yeah, you get it. You get it. Okay, we're going to get out of here. We're going to get going. Last one I want to tell you about. There's a ton of cool stuff happening over, but I don't have time to get to all of them because time is a fickle thing and it only gives me so much to work with. Over Sunday on the 8th, on the Lord's Day, you have Feeling Figures from Montreal with Tough Age, Pudding, and Roswit. We're going to check out their song, Try. It's pretty nice, pretty cool music, and I hope you like it. Have a good weekend. Stay safe, stay fresh, stay warm. It's fall, baby. Put on a jacket. Real quick, it's at Green Auto on the 8th. Bring money.